It is Monday morning, and you know on Monday we bring the man, Josh Pedorsen, here. And Coach Bodo's Positive Press, always positive. We start the work week, the school week, and, hey, this is a week before spring break.
Yeah.
So kids are excited.
That's right, McCurley coming.
Parents are excited.
Heck, I'm excited over this weather, man. I am not a cold weather guy. I'm not a get dark early in the day type guy.
No.
And both those things happen at the same time. Terrible timing. And also, March Madness coming right around the corner, Muck. I know your Auburn Tigers ready to tip it off and
I tell you,
make
know,
a run.
Last year we had four teams from the state of Alabama in the dance. UAB's going to have to come on to make that happen again. I still think Samford gets there. But I'm telling you, Auburn and Alabama both.
Would it be crazy to say that the SEC is a basketball conference now?
It is right now.
I know it is right now, but just the last, 15, 20 years, it's been football, football, football.
And one of the reasons for that, and the young man that you brought in here with you today can attest to this, because football was so good because of the coaches that the league brought in.
Yeah.
I believe basketball is starting to do the same thing. I mean, you're talking about, I believe Nate Oates is a great coach.
Yeah.
Bruce Pearl, you got Rick Barnes, you know, all of these people in the SEC. You still got Cal. I don't care what anybody says. Calipari can still coach.
He can.
It's going to take a little while, but you still got a lot of great coaches.
Yeah.
But you got one that's going down that pathway,
too. I do, man. Making the transition from the basketball discussion, let's go back to football. We got Mr. R.J. Burns, from alumni from Winterboro High School, in studio with us today. Mr. R.J., how's it going, man?
Everything is going good. Thank you guys for having me.
You got it. R.J. Burns, what year did you graduate from Winterboro?
I graduated from Winterboro in 2018.
So we got, you 25 now?
Yeah, been a few years. I'm getting old.
All right, cool. What'd you do? What did you do at Winterboro? I know you played a lot of football. You played football at the next level. Take us through that. RJ.
So at Winterboro, I was a three-sport athlete. I played football, did basketball, did a little track, tried a little baseball, but that didn't work for me. But that was fine and everything. Once I knew what I was good at, I just continued to develop and just try to be the best athlete I could have been from there.
So you graduated from Winterboro. You talked about the sports you played. Football was your niche. That was what you honed in on, and what'd you do after high school?
So I played in the South All-Star game down in Montgomery, and then I was committed to go to school called Lakeland University in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. It didn't work out well, but it's okay because I ended up going to a prep school down in Huntsville. I was going to go to Sheboygan, Wisconsin, but I was worried about my family and my friends coming to see me play ball and everything. So just wanted to make them accessible to every game. So I played at a prep school in Huntsville called Tennessee Valley Prep. And then I did it there for 2 years. And then fall of 20, I transferred down to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So the spring of 21, I walked on for a semester, and it was a great experience. I learned a lot of things. Then after that, I started working for the Crimson Tide football program. I was blessed enough to have I have two SEC championship rings, 21 and 2023. And the 23 was special because that was the last, as you all know, that was the last Saban that Coach Saban, that was the last year Coach Saban actually coached.
Yeah.
And after that, he retired. So my journey has been well. Now I'm over at the Paul Bryant Museum across from the athletic facility.
So you went, man, that is amazing. First of all, Sheboygan, I wouldn't even know how to spell that, McCurley.
You know, you talked about your family and friends wanting to come watch you play. That's not a short drive.
No. So you went from
a long way from
ultimately
home.
You went from Winterboro, Alabama, to under the leadership of Nick Saban.
Yes.
That is simply amazing right there, McCurley.
Yeah, and I guess if I could ask you one thing, what's the most important or the best thing that you think you learned from Nick Saban?
I think the most important thing I learned was how he carries himself. He's a very detail-oriented guy, and he always talks about this thing called the process. You know, you're not going to reach the top just like that, but during your success, you're going to have trials and tribulations. You're going to have adversity. Everything now is going to go your way, but you can't quit and give up. So, and nobody wants to go through a hard process, but sometimes in order to reach the top, you got to go through that process. And that's what makes his team and him so successful. And I was very fortunate to be able to learn that from him. One of the lot of lessons I learned from him.
And you're at the Paul Bear Bryant Museum now in Tuscaloosa. What do you do there?
Yeah, so I work at the Paul Bryant Museum, and I'm the assistant to the director, and we work with a lot of former players. So this past season, we worked with players like Sean Alexander, Chris Samuels, Roman Harper, all those guys. And so on game day, they sign autographs for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. So we have to go pick them up from the stadium, bring them to the Bryant Museum, and we basically get them from the Bryant Museum to the football stadium. And during pregame, during the game, they actually go out with the real captains.
Oh,
so
that's
they,
cool.
They walk out behind. Last year we had Jalen Miro, Malachi Moore, T-Book, and Deontay Lawson. So they actually walk out behind them, and they get honored. They get honored pregame, and also have the opportunity to get to walk out there with the real captains.
So on, you know, other Nick Saban, you're getting to rub elbows with some Alabama legends.
Yes, yes, yes.
That is amazing, man.
I got to ask something. Talking about Alabama legends, uh-huh. And Coach Poto and I are Auburn guys, but I got to ask you this. Working at the museum, how much have you learned about Paul Bear Bryant? Because he was gone long before you were ever born. What do you know about him? And I'll ask the question, who it's been a long time discussion in this state. Who's better? Paul Bryant.
No, he's putting you on the hot seat.
Oh, man, I don't want to compare coaches, but they both good. I mean, in the era Coach Saban was in, he was the greatest of all time in that era. But obviously, Coach Paul Bear Bryant was the greatest of all time in that area. But it's been an honor working there. I've learned a lot about the history and some things he done, some things he accomplished. But a lot of some good things I definitely learned, because we had a lot of players come in this past season. I know from his era we had Coach Sylvester Croom. And we had Ricky Davis. They both played for Coach Bryant. Obviously, Sylvester Croom, he was assistant coach when he went to Mississippi State. But they told me a lot of great stories about how Coach Bryant was, how he carried himself. I mean, he was tough on you. He was hard on you. And they told me that from practice, when he come off that tower, so he had a tower, and it's still at the university, but it's blocked off. But when he come off that tower, everybody looking over their shoulder because he finna come pop somebody behind.
So the tower's still there. It's like a museum piece type.
Over at the practice field, but it's blocked off. Nobody can get on it. So
a lot of
that's
people,
sacred ground.
Sacred
huh?
ground.
A lot of people don't know this, but, you know, when I was a football manager at Auburn under Coach Pat Dye, Pat Dye coached for Paul Bear Bryant.
Okay.
And he had a little tower down there on the practice fields, too, and he was kind of that way. If he ever come down off of it, things weren't going to be good.
Right. Did Coach Pat Dye have a megaphone?
No, he did. Okay. He did not, because I'll be honest with you, when he spoke, he didn't need one.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know, have you ever seen the movie The Junction Boys?
I haven't, but I heard of it.
Yeah, you got to check it out, man. That brought him to life for me, because as you were talking, you know, RJ and I are much younger than you, McCurley.
Right.
Much younger.
Thank you.
I'm just picking at you. And that brought him to life and put it in perspective of not only what type of coach he was, but what type of person he was, too. So, check it out, RJ.
Yeah, I will. I'll add it to my spring break list.
Yeah.
Hey, and I got to ask you this. And you're working there at the Paul Bear Bryant Museum. What are your plans? Are you wanting to stay there? I know you're taking some classes to get your doctorate. And so what are the plans for RJ Burns later on down the line?
Now I'm working on some master classes in sport management, but my end goal is to be a sport broadcaster. I want to get into the sport radio or sport broadcasting business. And what led me to that was obviously my playing days as an athlete, so that brings a lot of credibility, but also storytelling. I mean, when you're in broadcast, you're basically telling stories of athletes and coaches, because these guys, they're human beings just like us, so they go through things as well. So you can share their stories, behind-the-scenes stuff, and it's also a relationship. So once you develop a relationship with these guys, it's easy for them to trust you with their story. So that's why I eventually want to go. And I believe the path I'm going now is going to lead me to hopefully getting that dream job one day.
And you already got one foot in the door, because you got relationships, man. You're on the sideline. I've seen pictures of you talking with Milrow. And, I mean, you got one foot in the door that you know some of these guys.
Yes, sir. And that was the honor, too, working with those guys. And just it's all about trust, too, when it comes to the college athletics. Once these guys trust you, they don't mind opening up and talking to you. But you have to build that relationship. Just like a relationship in life and everything. You got to build that relationship with these guys.
Wow. Incredible young man. And, of course, I'm so glad you brought him
here. Yeah, me too. I'd like to give you a shout-out too, RJ. You know, I work at the credit union in Sycamore too, and he came in a couple weeks ago to do some business, and ultimately I was just impressed how you presented yourself. And then when you and I started talking, we put together that both of us come from sports backgrounds, and I knew right away that this was an ultimate candidate to come on today. So big things ahead for you too, man. That's really, really cool. And you don't forget this too, man. Always serve.
Right.
You've got younger kids, especially in the Winterboro community, mm-hmm. that look up to you, I'm sure. And just like we talked about a few minutes ago, you went from Winterboro, Alabama to on the sidelines. Now you got pictures with Nick Saban.
Right.
That's a true testament to you and the stuff that you're bound and destined to do, man. That's really cool.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this. No matter where life takes you, if you get into sports broadcasting and you call games in California or at the Super Bowl or whatever the case may be, never forget where you come from.
That's yes, right. Sir.
And that's Winterboro, Alabama, and I know we're proud of you.
That's right. RJ, thanks for coming on, man. It's been a real, real treat and a real joy.
Thank you all for the opportunity. And I just love being here. And thank you guys once again.
You got it, man. Guys, go dominate your week.